This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Raise Your Game. I'm Christine Wong. The pandemic has forced the whole world to get comfortable with change, be it positive or negative. And as a result, many companies have had to entirely pivot or even reinvent themselves. To help us along what that journey of rebirth would look like and what the right mindset is to facilitate such a metamorphosis, I'm joined virtually by Professor Ian Woodward, co-author of the book, The Phoenix Encounter Method.
So I'm a professor at INSEAD, the Global Business School. And pre-COVID, I taught at all of our various campuses, including Singapore and Fontainebleau in France. But since COVID, I'm based here in Singapore. At INSEAD, I do research work on strategic leadership, leadership and communication, leadership effectiveness, as well as direct our most senior leadership program, the Advanced Management Program.
Fantastic. Now, this book, The Phoenix Encounter Method, what prompted it to be written in the first place?
Well, I've got three co-authors, and it's unusual to have four authors, but I'll explain why this is necessary in this case. Three other co-authors, Professor Patty Padmanabhan, a professor of marketing with economics background at INSEAD, Professor Samir Hasija, a professor of technology and operations management, and Ram Charan, the global guru, advising CEOs and boards, and has done so for many decades. And all four of us have been involved very extensively for a long time in global leadership development and strategic leadership development with very senior leaders, mostly with C-suite, CEO and direct reports to CEOs and boards. Between 2014 and 2016, all of us were starting to get a lot of questions from leaders of traditional firms and industries about the nature of accelerating disruption, the sorts of change that have been wrought by the uberization of various industries and by the adoption of new technologies, platforms, ecosystems, and the like. And we're all being asked the same question. How do leaders of legacy industries, legacy businesses, cope with the world of disruption? So we started about researching and then putting into practice some tools and ideas into a methodology to help these leaders take advantage of disruption rather than be run over by it. And in fact, the kind of disruption that we described that was happening 2016, 2018, we call firestorm disruption, because there's always been disruption, innovation, and change inside business. What is different about this part of the 21st century's disruption, this firestorm disruption, is just the rate of that change. It's velocity. It's accelerating velocity. Scale and scope. So these are unprecedented challenges of change. And so we have that in the period 2016, which is when we started our research and started our practice work, to 2018-19, when we began to write the book. We've got around 1,500 business leaders that we've worked with to start reimagining a future in a more dramatic way. And hence the metaphor of the phoenix. Imagine burning your business to the ground and rising phoenix-like from the ashes. But the first challenge was to solve what was the legacy mindset. You might think about it as legacy blinkers, stopping these leaders who are very experienced, very talented, running large organizations and having run them successfully for a long period of time. What was stopping them taking advantage of firestorm disruption, and what kinds of threats were being posed to them? And so that's what prompted the book. And in our research, we found that issue number one was mindset and attitude. It was the way people thought about the world. Then as we went along, we found that not only leaders of, let's call them the legacy and traditional firms and industries, needed to rethink the future, that even a lot of entrepreneurial disruptive startups were not paying sufficient attention to the possibility for when they started to become major players that they could themselves be disrupted. And so we started to do work with entrepreneurial startup groups and leaders using the encounter method, not so much as a matter of defense and opportunity taking for now, but future-proofing the disruptive ideas they had. And with more than 1,500 business leaders and organizations across just about every major industry and geography in the world, we sort of encapsulated what were the steps you needed to take to bust through the legacy blinkers or to bust through the biases of not thinking at a strategically high enough level, and then to generate that wider option set that allows the organization to rise phoenix-like from the ashes. And so this is what prompted it, and it needed then inputs from people who had lots of different viewpoints and from different disciplines: marketing, finance, economics, strategy, leadership, business operations, technology, because the world of disruption is a multiplier world. And it's a world with lots of different moving parts coming from technology, different changes in business models, which then affect things like workplace, leadership, and the like.
Right. I mean, I guess from all of that, you could say that essentially it's the time of, you know, this is the way we've always done things is well over, right? And especially when it comes to all these businesses that you speak of, the legacy businesses, you know, this has been really, I would say, a wake-up call for a lot of them.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, we're talking about, we're pre-COVID, and I'll talk in a little bit about what has happened since COVID. Mm-hmm. But pre-COVID, in that period, 2015 to 2020, we see an accelerating rate of firestorm disruption. Technology, platform and ecosystem business models, the adoption of much more consumer power and engagement, changes in supply chains, logistics, the utilization of data, early trends in the changes of workplaces with multiple generations, baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, and now coming in Gen Z. There was a huge amount of change going on. And organizations that were not looking at the potential for this, then they were going to, their complacency was going to end up that they got disrupted. And that's really what happened going back. You look at firms like Kodak and Blockbuster and the others. Small startups went off in different directions. New technologies came in. And the leadership of those older firms simply did not make the pivot points fast enough. So coming into 2020, we have what we might call the unstoppable trends, because these are trends that had already been going. And we think of it in the sort of very prescriptive metaphor of the phoenix. We think about it as contemporary firepower, technology, digitization, data analytics, platform business models and the like. That contemporary firepower is increasing in intensity. And what you also see is that if you look at legacy firms who have been and had been disrupted significantly, the disruptions were occurring originally with ideas from outside their industries and outside their geographies. And so the mindset of leaders in a lot of firms was, you know, we're not going to be disrupted. That might happen to somebody else. This isn't going to take us on. We're more traditional. Customers prefer this way. And this kind of complacent thinking was just a ticking time bomb, awaiting disruption. Right. And then COVID hits. What does COVID do? It simply accelerates all of these trends. And it accelerates at a rate that is unprecedented. I liked Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, comment in April last year that when they looked at the work they were doing with their clients, many of them were doing 2 years of digital transformation in 2 weeks. And so the acceleration of this has meant that the trends of firestorm disruption pre-COVID have been accelerated during the pandemic. And then that's going to have very significant implications for the post-pandemic environment. So never has it been more important for leaders, particularly of legacy firms, to be reimagining what the future might be and to breaking through the mindset barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do want to just ask a little bit about what bird are you? There's this section in the book that talks about the specific kinds of birds and how they relate to different kinds of, I guess, business mindsets. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, this really comes back to this mode of thinking. This was the bird that was given to us by one leader who went through an encounter exercise and came out of it and said, "I'm a dodo. I thought we were in the forefront. Our business could be much more vulnerable if some of the ideas from industries that were happening in transport, mobility and entertainment and media services were applied to our traditional industry." He said, "We're not only a dodo, we're an ostrich. We're keeping our heads in the sand." And so a dodo is heading for extinction because they just can't see change coming. The ostrich is putting their head in the sand and saying, "This does not apply to me. I don't need to think about it." Well, what our research and our work with these C-suite leaders has shown is, at the very least, they have to have a conversation, what we call a completely opposite viewpoints debate, about taking the dramatically opposite viewpoint of burning the business to the ground and imagining it. And with unconstrained resources, so this is very much in an imagining world, how would you kill your business if you were somebody else? And once you start to have a conversation around that, what you start to do is realize that these radical options, which we call in our technique radical ideation, many of them are not as radical as you first think. So, you know, a strategic leadership thinker is always asking what's new and what if. And that the first thing is to have a discussion about this. And then the second part of that is to adopt some habits. We can talk about what some of those habits are that help us bust through the complacency of the ostrich and the certainty of extinction as a dodo and make you more phoenix-like, because you're going to have the agility to imagine your future performance in a different way.
Absolutely. And well, on that note, we are going to take a short break for some messages. But after that, I will continue speaking to Professor Ian Woodward about the Phoenix Encounter Method. So do stay tuned to Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9.
Building First World Malaysians. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Listening to Raise Your Game, I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me today is Professor Ian Woodward. He is the co-author of the book The Phoenix Encounter Method. Before the break, we talked about why the book was written in the first place, which is essentially to help primarily legacy businesses to adopt a different mindset so that they can adapt and change with the times. Obviously, this has all been accelerated by COVID-19, which we also discussed a little bit about the effect of before the break as well, as the whole analogy of what bird your business is or what bird your business mindset is. You can be an ostrich or a dodo, or you could, in fact, learn how to be a phoenix, which is the whole point of the book. I do want to at least break down a little bit into the Phoenix Encounter Method itself. I understand that there are essentially three parts: Encounter Framework, Encounter Battlefield, and Encounter Breakthrough. So let's start with the first step.
This first step is all about busting through the legacy mindset, or even if you're an entrepreneur, busking through the dreaming mindset that hasn't thought about execution, to come and imagine a different kind of world. So here, there are a couple of tools that are very important. Firstly, it's the tool of understanding the different kind of mindset bloggers, the sort of complacency of the ostrich and the certainty of extinction of the dodo. But to put that practically down, we ask people to generate an encounter journal. It's somewhere where they're going to keep their more radical ideas and thoughts as they go through the entire process of this debate, discussion, and ideation. And they capture this and they do a baseline benchmarking of what they think their organization has. Now, one of the things we found in our research is that this is absolutely essential. They have to write it down and they have to put it down in concrete, and they can no longer change it once the process has started. This is important because at the end, they come back and look at that and it helps them bust through to say, how could I have thought that in the first place? Why was I so trapped in that mindset? And the second tool and habit is what we call proactive scanning, which is to find topics that are outside our industry and outside our geography and scan and ask, what's new in those topics and what's if? We have examples where scanning is done and people might look at, maybe they're in an industry like retail, but they take an industry like insurance, and there's a reason to go outside of industry and outside of geography because it makes that wider view of the world there. And they might go and say, okay, let's take an industry that's very different like insurance. What kind of disruptions are going on in the insurance sector globally? And then they can scan what disruptions, changes, technologies, business model changes are happening. So they might, for example, find out about a company like Hippo, founded in only 2015, based in Palo Alto, that is using very, very sophisticated artificial intelligence matching of publicly available data to help provide home insurance services. If you were sitting in a different industry and you said, what if any of those things happened in my industry, what might that do to the way I need to change my logistics and supply chain? Right. How my customers might be wanting to interact with this. And this habit of scanning is the kind of daily perceptual acuity, the thinking, the watching, and the asking what's new and what if. And so in the groundwork phase, we get leaders to do that alongside take a baseline view of their own organization. Then we go into the centerpiece of the method, which is the completely opposite viewpoints debate. Mm. It's where we take radical ideas and we do things at the extreme. So it's an extreme form of strategic wargaming. Traditional strategic wargaming has a business. You have a competitor, you know, you play out the competitive games. That is simply not enough to bust through the legacy thinking. So what we imagine is extreme attack. We give the attacker unlimited resources, financial, operational, technological, human resources, no constraints. And then we put the leader to say, you are now the attacker of yourself, with unlimited resources, without any legacy, how do you destroy the business you've currently got? Complete destruction. And so out of that debate, where they're helped by other members of their Phoenix Encounter group team, you then say, if that attack occurred, how would I defend against it? That's the second part. Mm. And in defense, we're asking leaders to come back more to the real world with two eyes, two phoenix eyes. One eye that says, fortify the core. The other eye that says, if I jump out to the longer distance future, what are the kind of transformational changes I need to do? You see, what happens with leaders is they constrain at the wrong time. They constrain at their ideation process. And our research shows this is the big attitude difference between the disruptor and the legacy firm. Disruptors don't constrain their ideation.
Right, absolutely. You mentioned earlier before the break that this was a pretty long process. There was a lot of research that's gone into this, and also you and your co-authors worked alongside many people and many companies as well. I would love for you to just share with us a story of a company that started to apply the Phoenix Encounter method and, you know, have those Phoenix eyes that you mentioned now and how they're doing.
Well, let me give you two very short examples. One, which is a public example of what we have observed in phoenix-like behavior, and then one that's private, because the majority of the examples, as in the book, are commercial incompetence.
Yes.
But let me give you one, is the kind of thinking, and it's a salutary lesson. It's a traditional firm, it's called IKEA. Now, they disrupted the furniture industry with big box retailing and people putting their own furniture together, and then they started to get disrupted. And then in the period between, this is coming up to COVID, in the period between 2016 to 2019, as we're doing our research, we saw a lot of Phoenix, what we thought were Phoenix-like steps being taken. So, for example, they acquired TaskRabbit to have a gig platform economy of people to put together your furniture. They did a design partnership with Reform to sort of bling up the standardized IKEA kitchens. They eventually even bought an AI firm on 3D visualization to imagine things. Now, they were working all the way through that, and then the pandemic hits. But what is clear is that although they were responding to disruption and doing Phoenix-like thinking, they had not taken it the whole way. So when the supply disruptions and when the retailing disruptions occur in the pandemic lockdowns in 2020, IKEA sales suffer as a result of that, because their disruptive steps were still fundamentally built on retailing and a physical presence, not enough online. Now, another example that is an example of a leader who went right through the process pre-COVID and has continued post-COVID, mm-hmm. who is running a major healthcare organization in the United Kingdom. And when they took over as CEO, they ran the encounter and they realized that their legacy business had a lot of vulnerabilities to disruption. Disruption from technology, disruption from regulatory change, you know, policy changes, disruption from operating business models. And they started to set up pilot projects in 2017, 18 and 19 over that three-year period to use things like more robotics in some of their healthcare treatment, to set up a platform for social engagement between aged care residents and their families, to be able to have a platform of providers of things which were extension to their healthcare and aged care services, such as everything from mindfulness, yoga, meditation, massage services and the like, and then be able to bring this together with an optimization of very big data analytics to optimize every area of their operation. Now, coming into COVID, they were already pre-prepared for a lot of the digital distancing, social distancing, and a lot of the technology adaptations. And their performance in COVID has more than been 50% more impactful than the majority of their peers who had not made the incremental changes. And this group already had pilot projects, small projects that had proof of concept that they were able to roll out in the pandemic. And they're an incredible example of doing this and have been monumentally successful. And now a lot of what they've done is being picked up as disruption by many competitors, but in other geographies.
Hmm. Well, that is fantastic to hear. And all of that is really fascinating. And of course, if people want to find out more about the Phoenix Encounter Method, they can go to www.phoenixencountermethod.com. And also, where can people find the book if they'd like to get a hold of it for a read for themselves?
Lots of places are listed on the website. And of course, you know, major bookstores, major chains, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, etc. Google search it, will find it easily. As I mentioned, there's the main book, and now we've made available at demand of people in the pandemic to want to run this themselves. We've got a step-by-step implementation guide to running the encounter, running the kinds of conversations and the like.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much to Professor Ian Woodward for joining me on today's Raise Your Game.
Thank you, Christine, and to you and to your listeners. Please stay safe. These remain challenging times, and I do hope that you, your family, friends and colleagues remain safe in this continuing COVID era. It's a great pleasure to join you. Thanks, Christine.
Same to you as well. You've been listening to Raise Your Game with me, Christine Wong. And if you miss any of today's conversation, you can download the podcast on our app that's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my. This has been Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.